Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of December, recording at 11:13 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. I know that's later than the usual audio, but there's a whole lot going on with the website and chart library, as you know, and I'm going to start with that and explain a little bit more what's going on. First, many thanks for your kind words and helpful input. Now, Owen and I also thought that the chart library would be updated and modernized, and that has clearly not happened yet, mainly due to the rush and the daunting problem of not receiving our data, which we had paid for and were expecting to retrieve from the previous firm. There was some overlap of usage, but we had no choice but to repurchase this historic data from Bloomberg. An even bigger problem was finding that data for individual subscribers, such as favorites, presets, and notes, was either incomplete, scrambled, or in unrecognizable code. Consequently, a huge amount of time was spent trying to clean the data, and some of this has now taken place, as you will see from Owen's section in comment of the day when that's posted a little later. And further progress is going to be detailed by Owen on a daily basis. Meanwhile, this is what I regard as a profit from adversity situation. We now have an opportunity to recreate the chart library and improve the website with subscribers' views and preferences fully in mind. Therefore, I invite any subscribers who have views on what would be most useful and helpful in terms of general interest to send us your thoughts, because this is obviously a work in progress. Now, I know a number of you have already done that, and we greatly appreciate this. Owen, Craig, and I will try to find the most practical and useful ideas and implement them. The short to medium term goal for the chart library is to restore initially its functionality, including your favorite sections. I want to emphasize that we know how distressing that has been, and frankly, we were given corrupted data on the favorites, which is outrageous, stressful for you, and costly for us. I suggest you not waste your time by trying to reset your favorites just yet, as we hope to solve the situation this week. The short to medium term goal is to make the chart library better than what we had at Fuller Money. The longer term goal is to keep up to date with what works best and most suits subscribers' needs and interests. Regarding comment of the day, we've removed most of the promotional data, which should never have been there, as it obviously belongs in the free abbreviated section. I know how irritating that was, including, I should say, for me. And unfortunately, the testimonials are still there, but not for long. Okay, what's happened here in these markets? Somewhat nervous conditions in stock markets, but not in all cases. Let's take the Asia-Pacific region first, though. Now, in Japan, which has been very strong recently, but not today, and we had downside gaps, we had a downside gap on the Nikkei 225 index. And that was a fairly big dynamic, down 2.17%. Now, that occurred just as the Nikkei was testing the May high. And you might recall or have seen on a chart that May high, we had a huge, when the Nikkei was very, very overextended back in May and on a short-term basis, we had a huge downside key day reversal. So it's not surprising that after a run back up very close to that level that we're having encountering some resistance up there. And it looks like it's going to take a little bit longer here before this medium-term consolidation phase, as I've described it from the beginning, is actually completed. First thing, though, is that we want to see support re-encountered without breaking the progression of rising lows in recent months. And if that happens, the delay shouldn't be too long. Now, another interesting development is in the China region. The indices that have been doing best, such as the Hang Seng, Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, they have reacted a bit in here, down three quarters of a 4/5 of a percent in here today. And I think that's partly influenced by Wall Street, but the mainland China indices, which have been lagging for so long, they were stronger. And for instance, the Shanghai Composite was up 1.3% here today, and that was reflected pretty well across the mainland China sectors. So that is really does look as if it's actually beginning to start to move. Taiwan was also a little bit higher in here today. Pretty well everything else in that Asia Pacific region was lower, however. Now, looking at Europe closed down, not big hits. The DAX was the biggest, down 9/10 of a percent. But Wall Street improved a little bit, so if Asia gets a reasonable start tomorrow, and it may, but if it does, then I would think that Europe would be somewhat firmer, at least initially, because Europe Wall Street was lower when Europe closed. Wall Street's action, I thought, it was interesting. I tried to keep as much of an eye on it as I could, but the market was quite weak in the pre-opening and on the opening, and then some economic data came out. The data of the day, because so many of these little reports are released. And that wiped out the losses and pushed the U.S. indices up, and then those mostly faded towards the close, with the Dow and the S&P ending down slightly, and the Nasdaq a fraction higher here overall. And it's quite a wide range on the day. Wall Street, meanwhile, is still overbought, overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. And if I recall correctly, it has been 546 days, 546 days since we last saw a 10% correction for the S&P 500 index. So that's pretty unusual, and obviously brings us closer to that next 10% reaction. Frankly, I think that would be healthy for Wall Street. But again, investors know that this big QE, quantitative easing tailwind, is almost certainly going to continue through the end of the year. And well into the first quarter. Thereafter, though, I think the Fed is quite likely going to try to begin to taper, but provide some other reassuring factor. And this is you see this debated on Wall Street on a daily basis. Okay, what else happened in here? This could be important. The government bond prices. The futures prices are lower here today. That means the yields pushed up. Now, that U.S. 10-year Treasury bond, which I keep talking about, And I said, you'll get a little amber light flash when that moves above the 2.8 level. Well, it did it today. I think it closed at 2.83 and change. Now, if that stays above that 2.8 level, and I think the Fed would like to see it lower, but may not be able to do that much. But needless to say, amber light, while it's above that 2.8, and we get a red light starting to flash as and when that moves above the 3% level, which I believe was last touched back in September. Now, the Fed will try to hold that off, and they may get a little bit of success given some of the soft economic data around the globe, but we know this is the beginning of a secular bear market, meaning that those yields are going to be moving up in the years ahead, hopefully gradually, with lots of long pauses and ranging periods, and that's probably quite likely. But those yields will be going up, and that will be a headwind in terms of borrowing costs for firms and particularly homeowners. And it'll be a little bit of a headwind for the stock market as well. Okay. Well, an interesting day in here for the precious metals. And if you've been following that sector and listening to these audios, you'll know that the precious metals had drifted, maybe more than drift, a fairly persistent, steady decline over the last month. I mean, they've been declining for much longer than that, but over the last month, just dropping down, eroding support, and getting very close to those important end of June lows. For gold, it was a little bit below the $1,200 level, I think down at 1180 something. And so we got down close to that level and then had quite a good bounce in here today. And currently, gold bullion is trading at 1243, and we had upside key day reversals for both gold and silver, and so that silver has bounced up to 1968. So that's good action. I said we needed some sort of dynamic, and here to reaffirm support data at this level, and we certainly hadn't seen it previously. But that those two upside keys, and also platinum, less crucial in this discussion, but platinum also broke its didn't see it didn't see an upside key day reversal. But I think it's rallied for the third day in a row, and it has broken the very short-term downward trend overall. Now, following those keys, if you get follow-through the next day, in other words, if we see upside follow-through on Thursday through the close of U.S. trading, that would be a good sign of at least temporary and possibly medium-term support near this 1200 region. So we want to keep an eye on that. I'll just have a quick look at did anything happen here in currencies today? I haven't followed that here much. Looks like the dollar index barely changed in here today. Sterling's a little softer, 163.81. The euro, no, it's not much, really, not much change. Not much change here across the boards in this currency activity. In terms of Japan, which I know a lot of you are interested in, as I certainly am, The yen's at 102, 102.4 yen to the US dollar. So that's still favorable, but remember we had those we had that small downside dynamic here today by the Nikkei. And last but not least, and apologies if I'm running too long in this audio, industrial metals were lower here today. Crude a little bit easier at 97.18 for the WTI, and the Brent dipped back to 11.88. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.